Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We already got a text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rainey texting in says, I want to wish every Timberwolves fan a very sad Friday. Hashtag Grizz.
Ooh, okay. Talking some trash to the T-Wolves Nation.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a toughie for them. Up 26, blow it. And back up 25, blow it. And really get, I mean, just dominated the fourth quarter.
I don't know that they I've ever seen anything quite like that in terms of just, there's like the still shot when it's, I don't know, 83-57 or whatever the score was. And then there's the still shot when the Timberwolves have scored two more points and it's, the Grizzlies have tied the
game.
It's
like 86-85. Unbelievable. Yeah. All of a sudden,
it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's I got to agree with Charles Barkley. First of all, you know, credit to the Grizzlies. I mean, when they get it going, and Brandon Clark, the way he played, defense of Jaren Jackson, but man, the Timberwolves, like Barkley said, like they're just dumb sometimes. Some of their shots and their turnovers just feed those runs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got a lot of possessions in there where it's just like, just don't do something disastrous on this. I mean, sometimes, you know, you miss a good shot. That's fine. But way too many of them were like, wait, what are you doing? But good for the Grizzlies for taking advantage. I think Grizzlies-Warriors is going to be happening soon here. And, boy, is that going to be a series.
Yeah, it is. Grizzlies, big win last night, 104-95. The Warriors win last night as well. I mean, John Morant, you know, for his standards, I mean, he didn't play overly well last night. He only had 16 points in the game. He shot 5 of 18 from the field. He still ends up with a triple-double in the playoffs. So if that's your bad game, I'll probably take it if I'm John Morant at that point. But he's a plus 20 when he's on the floor last night. Desmond Bane, 26 points to lead the way for the Grizzlies in terms of scoring last night. But
huge shots.
What a comeback by Memphis. I mean, that I looked up. And I went out to eat with my family last night and got back home, and they were just getting destroyed early in the second quarter. And I tweeted it out. I was like, anybody tell the Grizzlies what time the game starts tonight? And I guess they just started an hour later.
They said, how about now?
Once it did, once they figured out what time the game was on, what a run by the Grizzlies last night.
Yeah, Morant had 7 turnovers, too, and some bad ones. I mean, he missed. He had the sequence when it was really close, where he missed both free throws, but then they get an offensive rebound. He gets 5 for 10 from the line. Just so kind of a weird night for him. But that's also, look, this team played great when they didn't have him, and Taylor Jenkins took him out for a, you know, like about probably 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, which surprised me a little bit.
Yep.
But he keeps him fresh, and like they can play without him. You get. Like you said, Desmond Bane is so important. But Brandon Clark last night to me was the story of, like, where did that guy come from? I mean, he's been a good player for them, but, boy, he came up huge. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns takes 4 shots. How the heck does that happen?
I don't know.
Press conference is even worse.
Oh, was it?
What'd he say?
Somebody just asked a question, you know, how do you evaluate your performance or whatever. He's like, next question. And then somebody asked another one about, you know, how are you going to get back and be better, essentially. And he's like, I'm going to just go drink some wine tonight. And like, yeah.
It's kind of like that go-to response. Of
how BBN of him.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, you don't start with me.
Learn from the best and Cal.
Oh, man.
Brushing things aside.
No accountability with BBN, I guess.
None whatsoever. I can't believe that he took 4 shots in the game in 33 minutes. That makes no sense to me.
Not me either.
You know, I could understand 4 shots in like 8 possessions for Minnesota for Karl-Anthony Towns. But hey.
I know. Yeah. No, it's And then when they went, you know, when they were building these leads, you know, it was, I mean, D'Angelo Russell. Yep. I mean, they were getting some turnovers and things like that and getting in transition, but they never really established him or went to him, and it's very strange. But well, they don't play smart basketball, like Charles Barkley said.
Well, that's such a big swing, right? I mean, you're up by 26 points at home in Game 3 when the series tied 1-1. Obviously, that's something you got to close out. But now that you haven't, I mean, you've allowed Memphis not only to regain home court advantage, but, I mean, how do you come back from that? Like, that's got to be – that's not your average playoff loss if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, that's a punch right to the chest if you're the Timberwolves in that game.
Yeah, that's that might break them. That might break them. Now, you know, if you're on their side of the things, you can look at a lot of film and say, so look at all this time against them the other night where we completely dominated them.
Yeah.
You know, back in this building, you can tie it up. You've won one on their floor, but – yeah, I mean, it's possible. Crazier things have happened in playoff series. But, yeah, I'm with you. I feel like this could really leave a mark.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, go Warriors. So we got some Warriors fans infiltrating the text line this morning.
Oh, boy. It's
did you stay up and watch that thing last night?
No, no, I did not. I stayed up and watched the first quarter, and, you know, you're watching Jordan Poole start to look. Clay is hot right from the start, and then Steph comes right off the bench, hits a three. I'm like, boy, you get Poole, Clay, and Steph shooting. And then, you know, again, if you watch Golden State, if you've watched them over the years, Draymond Green really is like the key to them on both ends. Not scoring, but he gets the people the shots, and then he's the best defender in the league. And they're a title contender. You know, they're back around to being a top contender, but I think the Grizzlies are too. I mean, I'm already like fast forwarding in my mind to that series. That will be a stay up for the whole thing every time they play series.
My guess is Steph Curry probably won't be coming off the bench in that series either. Now, he's still playing 31 minutes, so he might as well not be coming off the bench. But
probably not. But honestly, I kind of like it's just a
sixth man of the year next year, Steph Curry.
I mean, sometimes some of your best players are six men, and you basically just shave off 4 or 5 minutes, you know, yeah, from their total doing it that way. I don't know. Maybe they found something. Either way, those three.
Not even a starter anymore. How the mighty have fallen. Yeah. Steph Curry.
MVP in the first month of the year, coming off the bench.
Well, it's funny. He's just chilling, too. He's, like, dapping everybody up. They're announcing the starters. Steph's just chilling, and like you said, just comes off the bench and
just immediately starts raining threes.
You tweeted this out last night. It's amazing to watch just the difficult plays that Ja Morant makes look routine, whether that's hanging in the air for what seems like 5 seconds. I mean, he had this block last night where I swear he was suspended in time and space when he got that block last night. The pass that he's not even looking on the other side of the court, and it's right between the numbers where you can catch it and shoot all in one motion. I mean, the dude's freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, as much as he's a contortionist and an unbelievable, you know, athlete, fun to watch and everything, I mean, he is as good as, you know, like I think of people like Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson and just the best point guards in the history of the game who a lot of their plays they make are just very simple, but they're a little bit quicker than a lot of point guards make them. It's like you get it to him right now. That help is coming, boom, and it's there, and the shot's up, and it's in because it's in rhythm and it's right where the ball needs to be. He does that so often. Just the right play, like I think from a coaching perspective, I'm sure it's got to be a dream. Again, also because he can just get to the rim and dunk on everyone and do these ridiculous things, but he has the game on a string. So like last night, 5 for 18, 5 for 10 from the line, 7 turnovers. And, you know, sometimes he gets a little risky with some of those, you know, some of those skip passes and stuff. But still, the 10 assists, you know, most of them are just like perfectly placed and timed passes. That it's a lot. It's just not nearly as easy as he makes it look.
Joe, another good night for the Predators last night without playing. Dallas loses again on their Canadian road trip. So they lose to Calgary last night. So the Stars 0-3. In their last three games. So they remain 2 points back of the Predators, and the Preds now have one game in hand on the Stars as well. Vancouver loses last night as well. So Vancouver and Vegas have kind of been in that race together. Vancouver falls to the Wild last night. Kevin Fiala went nuts and was amazing last night against the Canucks. So if you're Vancouver, you're at 78 games played. You're 6 points back of the Preds at this point. You're only four back of the Stars, but you're in a world of hurt with four games left to play. I think it's probably just going to be too little too late from them. But all of a sudden, I mean, it's pretty interesting with Dallas and Vegas, especially given the fact that they play each other next week. Vegas 2 points back of the Stars right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because at bottom line for the Preds is we don't know how these last five games are going to go, and they're tough. But who do you root for, Dallas? Because you're now back in a good – you're in a position of strength now to get the first wild card. You know, I mean, you've got a game in hand, so you know, you could look at it like a four-point lead. But you got a game in hand, two-point lead. You know, Vegas could help you by beating them. But then again, if Dallas wins that game, that basically kills Vegas. So wouldn't that be better for you? I guess it kind of just – it just depends on what you do this weekend.
Yeah.
If you have a bad weekend –
probably Dallas.
Then you're rooting for Dallas. If you have a good weekend, then, yeah, keep that first wild card. Make it Calgary. That's a better situation for you.
By the way, the Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up tomorrow. That was a very strong message delivered by the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. They win 8-1 against Toronto, who at the moment would be their first-round opponent.
Yeah, how about that? What's up with that? 8-1. The 2 days after losing the Red Wings.
Look, I still say
when they want to kill someone,
when they are engaged. I mean, look, they've won two cups in the last 2 years, and they're just playing out the string right now. I know that you want to bring your best to the table every night, but when you've been playing hockey as much as they've played the last 3 years, you're just not going to have the same intensity level every night. I still think, and I said it before the year, everybody's talking about Colorado, everybody's talking about Florida right now. Oh, that's great, and they could absolutely win. When those guys want to play, I still think they're as good as anybody.
I agree. So Dallas, real quick, they go out west, they lose three in a row. They get outscored 15-6 in those three games.
Yeah.
It's just bad. But they finish with Seattle at home, Vegas at home, Arizona at home, Anaheim at home.
Yep.
I mean, as bad as it looks right now, I mean, I like their chances to possibly get 8 points there. So, actually, when you look at their schedule, I still think you're probably, if you're the Preds, rooting for the Golden Knights in that game.
You very well could be. The schedule's easier for them coming down the stretch. Now, you know, they just lost at home to New Jersey a couple weeks ago and had to scrap one out against San Jose. So, I just don't think they're playing all that well right now, but absolutely, they've got a chance to pick up some points here. Going to be interesting coming down the stretch. We'll get more into the Preds a little bit later in the show. Coming up next hour, we'll be joined by Terry Crisp at 8:30 as well. Interesting comments made yesterday at Titans media availability with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. We'll get into those next. Let me tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators, though. You can join the Nashville Predators Smashville Open House event tomorrow, April the 23rd. Have you ever wanted to see inside the Preds locker room? Well, don't miss your chance at the Smashville Open House. All fans can sign up for a chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets, and it's your first chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, they'll have Preds locker room tours, they'll have complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products, and 50% off all other food and beverage options as well. You can save 30% off all Stadium Series merchandise at the Nashville Locker Room. So check out the Smashville Open House coming up tomorrow. You can check out the Preds as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning as well on the road. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is there any chance that AJ could be traded between now and
then? I think I've spoke on that several times now, so do not foresee that happening.
That was John Robinson yesterday at his media availability with Mike Vrabel, the pre-draft availability for the Titans as the draft takes place. Thankfully, less than a week from now, Joe Rexro, the draft will begin. Next Thursday will be NFL draft day, and lots of discussion of A.J. Brown yesterday. John Robinson didn't go that far into it. Obviously, was not going to talk about the contract negotiations themselves and pointed out that that's not really something that he does. But also said that does not foresee that he's going to be trading A.J. Brown at this point either. So there's a lot to sort through yesterday from the press conference with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. What kind of stands out to you, and when it comes to A.J. Brown, what did you make of the way that those things were handled yesterday, even though you even asked him about some Instagram Live? Got an interesting response from J-Rob yesterday.
Yeah.
Vimeo.
Vimeo.
I don't know if Vimeo was the one that was going to come to mind to me.
That was a funny. Yeah. That was a funny reference to Vimeo from J Rob. Well, this is. It's. I think it's been an amazing off season of trying to interpret John Robinson like exact wording. I do not foresee that happening. Did not, because this always happens. Someone says something like that, and then someone is going to react like, there it is, end it, everyone, drop it. Like, I do not foresee that happening.
Yep.
That doesn't end it to me. It leaves some wiggle room, which, again, you should leave some wiggle room because you don't know what's going to happen. John Robinson doesn't know who might call him that day and offer him so much ridiculous stuff that you have to change your mind. Jared asked him specifically, you know, do you foresee trading him? That led to the, you know, to the answer. But before that, he said, you know, I've talked about this countless times or whatever. You know, I do not foresee that happening. I know I could actually read the transcript and give you the exact words, but I took that honestly. I walked away from that like, keep an open mind here. The whole thing, all of it, in the last couple of days. I just don't know. You know, I just don't know where AJ Brown is on things. You know, and is AJ, like, I don't know where AJ Brown is on what his expectation is for the contract. I think the Titans absolutely want to keep him, should keep him, need to try to do everything they can to keep him. But I didn't walk away from there yesterday thinking like, forget about this. This is not a story. Move on. I mean, you have a draft coming up, and you know, you can always go into the situation where you're just going to have a holdout and it's just going to drag on, and that happens sometimes, and, you know, it's not the end of the world. But if this is going to become something that's just that you just can't come together on, well, then it'd be good to have the outcome by the draft, because you can, of course, really help yourself if you have to move them. I mean, I'm open, again, not expecting it, but I'm open to that possibility now, like I wasn't, you know, last week.
Yeah, like, I don't think that John Robinson's plan is to trade AJ Brown. I think that he would obviously like to get him signed. But to your point, as a general manager, like, you can't just totally close yourself off from other opportunities as well. And, you know, if you have an inkling that you're just not going to be able to land AJ Brown at the number that you're comfortable with, then maybe you do explore that option with the draft. Like, it would be a shame to, you know, have that happen, and then the draft has come and gone, and there's only a limited amount of teams that you're dealing with when it comes to potentially moving on from AJ Brown and the compensation that would come along with that. So, yeah, I mean, this week makes sense to try to figure that out as close as possible if you're John Robinson, the Titans. I still think, you know, they want to have him here, and they want to get a long-term deal done with AJ Brown. But I didn't take that yesterday as, you know, it was absolutely slamming the door on it. But I still, when he was, I guess, as strong as he was in terms of the, no, I don't foresee that, I've spoken on that a couple times now, like, obviously they want AJ Brown to be a part of this team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, they should. So. I mean, he's, you know, I think in the history of the Tennessee Titans in terms of performance here, you're not counting, you know, Randy Moss and Andre Johnson and Julio Jones, other places, the best receiver was Derek Mason.
Yep.
And A.J. Brown, to me, is, you know, I mean, he's the guy who could be the best receiver. I mean, shoot, he's the guy who could be the best receiver in franchise history, frankly. I mean, I think he's that good. But this is a big moment. Ben on the text line says, best case might end up being let him walk in 2023.
I would argue that may be the worst case.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, you can always go with the, okay, we're not going to get a deal. Well, you know, you play on the last year of your rookie deal, and then we can tag you. And so then you can play here and very unhappily for the next 2 years. But it's just, you know, I don't think anybody wants to get into that situation. We've talked before about, well, you know, does it make sense to do the deal early? Or do you want to see, hey, it'd be great to have more information and know for sure that he's going to be healthy for a year, know for sure that he's going to, you know, reach that level, which I think everyone who watches him knows he's capable of reaching, but that's just not reality right now. I think you've got to figure out if there's a way to get this done. And obviously the pressure's coming from his side too. I mean, this, Now, I don't know if the whole Instagram Live thing, which, by the way, I do not buy John Robinson. I mean, come on, man. You watch this thing. Yeah. Someone came in your office and showed you the Instagram. Come on.
Have you seen this?
And maybe a Vimeo.
Maybe it was
too.
On Vimeo.
Yeah, maybe. What is Vimeo? I honestly don't even know what Vimeo is.
I don't even either, so.
Yeah. I remember Vimeo.
I do, too. I've seen some Vimeos. I just don't know what it is.
Someone let us know.
I spent a whole lot of time there.
What was his other reference? He referenced like Instagram.
Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat. There you go. Good job. Vimeo is just a professional video platform, according to Google. The world's only all-in-one video solution.
J-Rob's big Vimeo guy.
But come on. Like, you've seen that, right? You've heard, I mean, you have to know. If the guy you're negotiating with is whether he was totally compliant or not is basically airing the laundry on the internet, then you got to know that. Because that to me, I'd be pretty ticked off if I were John Robinson and Mike Vrabel about that. But that side, and again, I don't know if it's coordinated, like totally coordinated or not. If it was, it was well played as just impromptu, you know? I don't think it – but regardless, it happened. It's out there. And then all the social media stuff happened, and we know what's going on with these other receivers – and you've got the same agent, and I just feel like you've got to be feeling awfully urgent right now if you're the Titans.
Well, I think so, too. And, you know, going back to Ben's text, to me, there's not a scenario where the best case is him walking away. Like, you're either signing him to a long-term deal or you're getting assets for him, to me. I mean, that's kind of the way I view it. But the walking away after next year, that would be the worst-case scenario if you're asking me.
Like, you have a chance right now. If you can't make it work, which would be bad, because you could go through all these draftees and you can get a pick, go high enough to get the one you like, and there is no guarantee at all that they're going to be what A.J. Brown is. But if this is what has to happen, now you can actually recoup things and you can adjust quickly here and you can draft accordingly. I mean, it changes your strategy pretty significantly if you're not going to have AJ Brown. So,
NWI, wide receiver one.
Maybe Bobby Trees and NWI in a battle for WR1. I mean, who knows? So many things could happen here. But no, I don't think him walking is a good idea.
I don't think so either. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to Mike Vrabel's comments on Ryan Tannehill and Caleb Farley as well, coming up on the other side. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now there are deals including half off for 312 Pizza Company, the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, plus experience a 60-minute float session from Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Speaking of Seltzerland, I've got some tickets to give away. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to Seltzerland coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Link. 615-737-1025. Joe, you asked Mike Vrabel yesterday about Ryan Tannehill and not being in the building at this point. Thought his response was interesting. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday at his press conference.
More important, Mike, for Ryan Tannehill to be here? Actually, for both of you, that question. Is he missing anything of real value here, not being here right now?
I've had communications with Ryan. Again, as the head coach, I want every single player here. I would love to see that happen. Had communications with Ryan, and I'm comfortable where those are at, and expect him back here pretty shortly.
So that was Vrabel yesterday at his press conference with the old "I want every player to be here" line, but did say at the end that he expects Tannehill back shortly. What did you make of the way they handled the Ryan Tannehill not being at voluntary workouts part of this yesterday?
Yeah, I So I have to be like influenced here by driving to a soccer game yesterday and listening to Jared talk about this.
Okay.
He read a lot into that. I know you're going to be surprised. He read a lot into like that because it wasn't just like, I guess some like, oh, we're totally fine with Ryan, you know, like just coming out. That this it means that Vrabel's actually ticked about it. Now Vrabel may be ticked about it. I'm not saying he isn't, but I don't. It's hard to read much into what he said. He said about what you would expect. I mean, he's right. Every coach wants all these players to be there. If Vrabel was mad, and specifically mad because he figures that the quarterback should really want to be taking ownership and should be there, I wouldn't expect Vrabel to say so. Can you read into those comments, like some sort of – can you read into, you know, the tone or anything? I know you tell me. I couldn't much.
I didn't think it was – I think it was basically, yeah, he'll be here soon.
Right.
Don't really care.
Yeah.
And I think – I mean, I think he really does want everybody to be there, but, I mean, Vrabel's talked about this 1,000 times in terms of he also understands the voluntary part of it because he used to be a player and all that stuff. So – does he want Ryan Tannehill to be there? Yeah, I'm sure he does. Is this going to cause like some big issue with Vrabel and Tannehill that he's not there? No, I don't think that it is at all.
No. So this was pretty late in the press conference. It's one of those things where it's like, well, this is a draft press conference. A lot of draft questions. Hey, what do you think of the tight ends in the draft? You know, Kaharski, what do you think of the edges in the draft? You know, whatever. So they got kind of late. It's like, okay, well, like someone's got to ask about Tannehill, so I asked about Tannehill. Jared said on the air, he's like, I think Joe asked about Tannehill because I was there.
Oh, really? Is that what went into that?
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, Jared? Seriously. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, yeah,
I need to get inside Jared's head and just
is like Stephen A. Smith showing up to the press conference, like, you know how he does with the big game stuff? So, like, because Jared was there, did you feel like you had to be on your A game with your questions? Is that what this is?
It must be, yeah.
Okay.
Like, ooh, Jared's here. Ooh. Actually, Jared did have a pretty good exchange, though, with J-Rob. He kept asking about the 2019 draft. And Rams was like, yeah, keep asking about 2019. Jared, you're hot for 2019. So that was kind of funny. So thanks for showing up, Jared.
I got a texture that says, reading into Vrabel's comments way too much. He literally said they should, and they're comfortable with where they're at. This is coming from a texter on the text line.
Yeah. Look, again, I didn't expect it. Like, Vrabel is, like, furious about this. Now, if you had Vrabel, you know, off the record, drinking a beer at a bar, would he say, yeah, I wish Tannehill showed up? Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were him, I'd rather Tannehill showed up. If I were him,
for sure,
I'd rather be at a press conference about the draft and not be asked about Tannehill not showing up. But some jerks just have to ask that question. So thanks a lot, Ryan. You know, I mean, I'm with you. Like, this is going to be forgotten. Now, I don't know. I guess Tannehill throws a. Once we get through the chorus of boos after he throws a pick, maybe someone will, you know, bring it up. Yeah. That first, you were trying to throw to Austin Hooper. Yeah. And imagine if you guys had that extra week.
You were there on April 18th. Wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. But it's not too big of a deal.
Got a text that says, thank you, Joe and Robbie, for not taking his words out of context. Like every other show and video that's commented on his comments have kind of made it out like Vrabel's mad he's not there.
What other show? I mean, I know Jared was going to do this. Like, I knew that would happen.
I don't know.
Let us know in the text on the other shows that have done this. Unlike some people who are able to listen to all the shows and then say, like, we're the only show in town that blah, blah, blah. I don't listen to them, so let us know. Do you?
We are the only show in town that does a lot of stuff, though.
That's true. Well,
some good, some bad.
The only show in town that smashes Willie Donick's memorabilia from a long way back in his youth.
I mean, look, going back to that text – I don't think that Vrabel's, like, fuming that Ryan Tannehill's not there. I don't think he's happy about it either. Like, I don't want to make too little of it because I think he would obviously love his quarterback to be there. But, you know, if Ryan Tannehill shows up next week, is this going to end up being the world's biggest deal? Probably not. Just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Vrabel said is probably exactly what you say, and it's true. I mean, every coach wants every player there. And for every second of this stuff, And I have no idea, you know, I mean, Vrabel is very, he's probably as experienced on all sides of this stuff as anybody in the league, honestly, because he was a huge leader of the union. So I don't know, but I'm assuming Vrabel missed some voluntary stuff here or there in his career. Maybe not, but, you know, he understands it. It's just, there's a lot of factors of this particular situation with the quarterback. If things had gone well last year, then people would be talking about it as much as they're talking about Jeff Simmons and Derrick Henry. And we're all going gaga over Derrick Henry's workout yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
– He was suspended in midair. It was amazing.
At some point, like, are your muscles too big to be a running back anymore? Like, is he going to be like a 3 technique here soon?
Maybe.
Like the fastest in history? But – he's not. I mean, he's doing his stuff on his own. Yeah. People aren't mad about it.
He hasn't said one word about it.
Yeah. And again, so if the performance by Tannehill and all the other things, not showing up at move out day, all that stuff hadn't happened, then I don't think there'd be really any talk of this. But again, this is what it is. Everybody's ready to get mad at him for every little thing.
Henry on the text line says, "Do you think that Vrabel's comments would have been different had everyone else showed up except for Tannehill?" Maybe.
No.
That's never going to happen.
I don't think the comments would have been different, but honestly, if that had happened, then there'd probably be more anger toward Tannehill overall.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if he was the only one, yeah, that wouldn't happen. But I mean, I remember, so speaking of Derrick Henry, let's go back 5 years. I think 5 years. There was a big thing because Derrick Henry didn't show up. And I think it was this exact same time period. And Jarrell Casey, I can probably find it. But he basically said, like, you know, he was mad. He was mad. He did not specify or name Derrick Henry, but he was like, you know, basically, I don't remember the comments, but he was mad. And so then I remember Jason Wolf, who was our beat writer at the time, the Tennessean, wrote a column and sort of wrote in like that Jarrell Casey was taking a shot at Derrick Henry. He never specified
that. Here was the quote. Quote, okay. "It definitely puts that little check mark in the back of my mind. It lets me know who I can count on, who I can't count on. To see your teammate show up is definitely great." This is coming from Jarrell Casey.
Yeah. So, again, he didn't specify Derrick Henry. But, I mean, that was the big absence at the time was Derrick Henry. So, and it turns out Derrick Henry was, like, at Alabama finishing his degree. But Mike, I think Malarkey even said, like, I don't know. So, Derrick Henry didn't communicate. Why? No. Again, it's voluntary, so you don't have to. But he didn't communicate. So, the coach says, I don't know why he isn't here. Jarrell Casey says that. Everybody seems they're all ticked off. In the end, okay, he was at Alabama finishing his degree. So, in that case, it's Derrick Henry. Like, make a call or send a text, and then it's all taken care of. But it became this big thing, and then – I don't think that's going to be mentioned, you know, like when he's in Canton.
Probably not.
But, of course, Tannehill won't be in Canton, so.
We'll think.
I don't know what that means, but. Well, that's true. What am I? Yeah. How do I know this for sure?
When it comes to Super Bowls, maybe he will be.
That's true. I mean, you look at his collection of stats. Now he wins a couple of rings. He's probably in Canton, right? So we've decided today on the show that Ryan Tannehill's going to Hall of Fame.
Congratulations, Ryan. I got a text that says, if Tannehill's supposed to be a leader, then he should lead by example and put in the extra work.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I think he should have showed up. It's just, you know, this is what we're talking about now. Probably not going to be talking about it for too much longer, but I agree.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to yet another attempt to nail down a position for a certain Titans player yesterday that, once again, did not work. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
In terms of Dylan Raiden, do you guys think he's more of a left guard or a right tackle, and how does that affect where he might fill the other spot in the draft?
I think with the offensive line, we're trying to get the best five guys up there that can block their guy. You know, I think Dylan has shown he can play tackle. I think he's worked at guard. He's played guard. I think there's some versatility with him as a football player. But at the end of the day, with the offensive line, it's trying to get the right five guys up there that can block their guy on a consistent basis.
There it is. John Robinson.
Okay. Can you have the right after that? Because that gets really funny. Yeah. Like – So right after that, Paul's like, "Yeah, but John, come on, John." It's so good.
We'll find it.
Yeah, we'll find it. Yeah, and hey, look, I feel your frustration, Paul. But thank you for being the one to ask and give it a shot. Worth a shot. I think everybody's giving it a run at this point.
They're very noncommittal to the Dylan Radin's position, at least publicly.
I think they're just messing with us. I think at this point they're cackling, you know, behind the scenes because they know the question's coming again.
Yeah.
And so it's just like let's see which sucker asks it this time. But Paul's absolutely right that you know the draft strategy is going to be dictated by this, at least to some extent, right? Now, not that they have full knowledge, not that they can know for sure right now, but they have more of an idea of where things are trending for Dylan Radins than they've let on, and they have to draft accordingly on that one too. So we're going to find out, I think, something about him next weekend.
Well, and it was interesting to hear J-Rob continue to kind of expand on that a little bit because he said, you know, there's the cliche line of we want the best five guys out there that can block. But he did say, you know, let's say that Dylan starts at one position and somebody else gets hurt and he's better than who we put in over there. It's nice to have the versatility there. So let's say, you know, Dylan Radins is the right tackle and Brewer goes down or their draft pick goes down and gets hurt. Well, if Dylan Radins is better over there at left guard than the backup they throw in, and they've got another tackle you could plug in, then maybe that's what you do there. But still, like, I kind of would like for him to be a right tackle. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, that might be what you do, but at some point you need someone to focus on something, right? Versatility is great.
So.
Like, if you're okay at various positions, super. But he was drafted to be a good tackle, a good starting right tackle.
Yes.
Now, you could draft a tackle high in this draft and sell it as, well, we believe in Dylan, but – you know, you always have to think about the future. And look, you could draft a tackle high in this draft, and at some point that guy could be Taylor Lewan's replacement in the not all that distant future. So it's possible they could go that route, and it doesn't necessarily say anything about Dylan Radins, but I don't think they're going high for tackle unless they have more doubt than belief in him.
Yeah, and – you know, obviously they were asked about interior guard and like the interior offensive line yesterday, and they mentioned the two guys that we've talked about all week long here. That's certainly going to be an option for them at 26. But to your point, I mean, I think we're going to learn what their plans are pretty quickly because if they do view Dylan Radins as a left guard, are they going to be drafting a guard with their first pick? I don't know. And they would tell me that they viewed him more as the right tackle where they drafted him last year at that point. And you're not doubling down on a guard. If you think Dylan Radins is going to be a starting left guard for you, are you drafting a guard with your first overall pick or with your first round pick? I think not.
No. You know, that's the thing. I don't think that that's what they want either. You know, that's why I think it's more likely they do draft a guard because I think they want him to have every opportunity. But again, it's one of those things like, great, every opportunity. So then you could be left in a real bind.
Yeah.
And not have a good right tackle. Which, by the way, David Questenberry, still out there, correct?
No, he signed with the Bills yesterday.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, hello then.
So that means
there's some news.
Two-fifths of the starting line last year for the Titans now plays for the Buffalo Bills. Questenberry and Saffold.
Interesting. And obviously, I mean, they just signed him as a backup.
Yep.
But you got a good for Questenberry. Because I kind of thought that might be one of those Michael Pruitts, you know? Eventually come back around. All right, bring him back. So, well, that takes away a little bit of security. And again, they could have signed him and they could have ensured that security. But boy, the tackle roster for this team right now is a little light.
And Bills apparently still have Bobby Hart too. So I mean,
taking
all these former Titans running around.
All these Titans who have started at left tackle last season are now playing for the Buffalo Bills. Well, Bobby Hart was on the Bills and the Titans and Bills.
Yeah,
and
he's all over the place. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Craig, going back to the A.J. Brown situation, says, I believe you have to come with your best possible offer. And if he says no, get some picks before Thursday. This is coming from Craig on the text line. Do you buy that, that there needs to be like a deadline this week if you're the Titans with A.J. Brown or you're trading him? I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I don't think you need. I don't think you set that as a hard, you know, line in the sand. It's either this or that. But again, I think that the urgency to discuss and negotiate and get a feel for where you are and be very open to talking to people in the meantime, I think all that should be a big part of this. The heck of a week for John Robinson. I mean, it's already busy enough with the freaking draft.
There is that.
And now you have this situation too. So, I mean, look, it's very possible that nothing gets done. They draft, and we go into the rest of the offseason and everything, and we see what will probably be some holding out and things like that. Again, this happens in the NFL. But if it's, I think you have to have a real good sense for like how close you are. How like is he realistic? Because if he's not realistic, which to me is like realistic should be, you shouldn't think you should get any more than like $25 million a year. Again, whatever.
And that's approaching pretty high, but yeah.
Yeah, like I like, so TD, I think TD has said this, or maybe just texted me. I don't know, but whatever. I'll give you credit, TD, on the, if it's just a text. I think he said he liked the 3-year 75 idea. And I like that idea too. It's a good, it's a good number. It's one less year. Could be good for AJ too, because he could take another big swing if things go really well in that time period. Again, what's the guaranteed money? I mean, Diggs got 96, 4 for 96 and 70 guaranteed. So what's the guaranteed number? About 70? I mean, if AJ Brown would scoff at numbers like that at this point, like it's like some people are just unrealistic. Well, then you need to think differently. Yeah. I'm sorry, but like there's still got to be a limit if you're the Titans on where you're going to go with this. So I think you at least have to have a really good idea, and you may just decide it's just going to have to go into you're going to have to draft how you draft. But obviously that's the thing. If it's going to be a problem, then that could change your draft. And also, if it's going to be a problem, you can now get yourself some very valuable assets.
This is why, and I've said this before, to me, in today's NFL, you can never have enough wide receivers. It's just the way that I kind of view it right now. Got a texter that says, John Robinson is not going to let AJ go. They'll get the deal done for sure. Both sides will be able to come to some kind of agreement. If J-Rob doesn't get it done, it's not going to look good for this franchise. They've been trying to find a number one receiver for years. We got one. He's got no choice but to sign him. That's coming from a texter on the text line.
There was a text that I was trying to read, and now I... What the heck? Does this stuff like disappear sometimes?
I don't think so. What was it about?
It was about Tannehill. Whatever. Anyway, I thought it was a good point. Maybe I just imagined.
Was it the? It's easier for Titans for fans to sit back and say they should put in extra work.
Yeah. Where? Yeah. Who was it? What's the name?
It was the same one. Just had the text about John Robinson. It says we forget they're human too, but I do agree with the way things ended last year and with the addition of the passing game coordinator and the new tight end. Ryan should be there trying to get comfortable with his new weapon and meet the new passing game coordinator as well. There you go.
Thanks. It's not on my screen anymore, but yeah.
It's because they had the new text after.
Yeah.
But I can't find that one either. Anyway, whatever. My headphones are working well.
It's good. got another texter that said, you know who did show up to their team's voluntary workouts? Marcus Mariota, A.J. Brown to the Falcons confirmed. This is coming from Mark in Ashland City. He does have a nice sarcasm gif attached to it.
Hey, Arthur Smith will take A.J. Yeah, Brown.
He'd sign up for that.
Yeah, he'd be okay with having A.J. Brown in Atlanta. Does anybody have the anybody have that somewhere? Like starting quarterbacks who showed up first day and those who didn't? That'd be interesting.
And Aaron Rodgers isn't there, so.
Well, of course. He's getting hammered at NBA playoff games. What do you expect? Was he with someone other than Shailene, by the way?
Randall Cobb.
No, but there was a woman. Who was that?
It's part of the ownership group, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right. They looked kind of cozy. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Joe, you are invested.
Trying to stir stuff up.
He's invested in
Shailene. There's like TMZ over here.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers paparazzi. I like Shailene. She was good on...
Big Little Lies.
Yes.
Good show.
Seen it.
Is that nice? Well done. How you doing on those movies?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David Beauclair from SI.com coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans as they head into draft week next week. Make sure you join the Nashville Predators at the Smashville Open House event. You'll have your first chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, all fans can sign up for the chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets as well. There will be inflatables, balloon artists, face painting for kids. Don't miss your chance to secure seats for the 22-23 season and guarantee access to every home playoff game this season with significant savings as well. Complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products will be available and 50% off all other food and beverage as well. It's the Smashville Open House, taking a bit tomorrow, Saturday, April 23rd. Make sure you check it out. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.